With Robinhood, not only can you trade individual stocks and ETFs, you can also seamlessly buy and sell crypto at low costs. Trade all in one place. Get started now on Robinhood.
Trading crypto involves significant risk. Crypto trading is offered through an account with the Robinhood Crypto LLC. Robinhood Crypto is licensed to engage in virtual currency business activity by the New York State Department of Financial Services. Crypto held through Robinhood Crypto is not FDIC insured or SIPC protected. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Securities trading is offered through an account with Robinhood Financial LLC. Member SIPC, a registered broker-dealer.
Thanks for joining me for another Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Really appreciate all of you joining us. If you haven't done so, if you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so, Apple Podcasts or Spotify, and please rate and review the show. And of course, you can find all of our programming, CannabisRadio.com. Let's get right to our guest. I'm with the founder, CEO, a regular guest of the program, and on Plant Profits, Blunt Business, and other places, Kyle Sherman. Hey, Kyle, you've been very busy. You've had
it's been quite an eventful day for you. It's been a busy year.
So one of the things that has been brought up that, you know, even leading into Benzinga, is you now have a new integration with BioTrack, expanding national coverage to 36 markets. Talking about that relationship, obviously, you know, BioTrack, you know, whether it's being put in the space with themselves, that, again, now you already had set for 11 legal cannabis markets, and now the integration gets you to 36 states, simplifying dispensary operations, and now offering a centralized platform designed specifically to meet evolving needs of retailers. Talking about that relationship.
Yeah, so obviously in the United States, you've got this really bifurcated regulatory system, right? So some states use what's called metric, and the state government uses that to track seed to sale, the supply chain, the products, the sales, taxes. In other states, use BioTrack. Some states don't have anything, like Arizona. And so, expanding into BioTrack markets is extraordinarily important for a company like us, because we've got customers who are growing into markets that don't necessarily use metric or another system. And so we've got to be able to serve everybody. And really, this is the launch pad for us to be able to say to the industry, hey, FlowHub is here to serve you in every single market. And that's a really big deal for us as an organization that's been around for nearly a decade.
You also made a mention of in previous interviews about this announcement, there's a glaring need for a more modern POS software platform like FlowHub, and you're powering the next generation of dispensaries, being more efficient, sustainable, growing, and profitable. And with that said, what is it that you feel like encompasses that POS system?
This is really exciting, because as an organization, right, we built our first platform back in, started really in 2014, 2015, building, launched in 2016. And Colorado was the only state at the time that had legal adult use cannabis. And so There was no model. We were just guessing half of it, right? We're like, this is kind of what we think the future will be. And look, we were right about a lot of those things. We were wrong about a lot of those things. Fast forward to 2021, we said, you know what? What if we did something crazy and we just killed the old system and we built something from scratch? Like as if we were a brand new company. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people thought we were crazy, right? People said, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that, right? It's like, it's kind of can kill a company or it can make a company. Mm-hmm. And for us, it was worth taking the risk. So in 2021, we broke off a Skunk Works team out of the company, and we said, let's start building the new thing. And that new thing was launched in 2022. It's called FlowHub Maui. Mm-hmm. And this platform truly is one of a kind in cannabis in North America, because, we had all this previous experience about what we should build. And two, we knew how to build it this time the right way. You know, we made a lot of mistakes in the early platform. And so we brought in a bunch of folks from Wayfair.com who had been there from the early days, all the way from the technical side, from the early days till IPO. And those folks were a big part of building a really stable, strong foundation for us to continue to iterate on. And Flow Maui is just flourishing today because of that investment that we made back in 2021 with the right talent, the right technology, the right people, right? We launched that in 22, and it's now 100% of our customers use that, and it's getting great marks in the industry. People just say, wow, this is infinitely better. You know, examples about that might be from check-in through check-out for a consumer, and the data that the retailers can then get from that transaction and use it proactively to build a better retail experience for their consumers. What should we be discounting? Any type of discount you want to run, you can do it across all your locations in one spot. So all these little things matter. And you think this would be, this would be something that everyone does already. But it's not the case. And so we're doing something really special.
Fantastic. Now, we're just looking at the information, obviously, over 1,000 dispensaries, $3
million.
$3 billion. And just the work you've done, going back to even far back as 2015, integrating with, being the first to integrate with Metric. Now this Maui program that you put together, we had you speak about it on our Plant Profits program about that. And
that's right.
The run with that. One of the things I also want to make mention of is with the partnership now, you know, in moving into new markets, one of those is Florida. Obviously, you see that with with Florida being now, it's eventually going to be another use market. Amendment 3 is going to pass. I feel wholeheartedly confident about that.
Yeah,
and, you know, when you look at what the adult use market will entail for Florida, you know, the MSOs are going to be strictly who you have to work with here, not too many craft owners here. So what do you think about the infiltration of Flow Hub working along with BioTrek and being able to go into this market? You got a pretty easy launching into this market because you only have so many companies to deal with, so many licenses.
It's true. Right. Right. You could be a single, I think your point is you could be a single logo.
Right.
And have 40 locations or whatever associated with it. No, 100%. I mean, look, I think the tough part is we, you know, as we start to expand into these states, right, you do have folks that are using incumbent technologies. But I think the benefits of a platform like Flow Hub Maui far outweigh you know, the pain to switch. And so that value, I think, is going to really matter to these folks as they continue to try to be profitable, try to maintain good margins, healthy margins in their organizations, and provide better consumer experiences. I mean, I think in Florida specifically, it's going to become significantly more competitive, right? As companies come in, you know, you might see more Cookies and Jungle mm-hmm. Boys and Backpack Boys and, you know, these kind of like more West Coast companies coming in, you know, Quality Roots, right, potentially, right? These companies, like, at some point are going to make their way into Florida. And I think the MSOs that are here, the incumbents themselves, are going to have to really wisen up and build systems and processes for the organizations to compete in that arena. Right now, it's really been, like, you know, pretty easy for them to compete. There's not a whole lot of competition here.
And a lot of new markets.
It's going to change.
Right. And a lot of new adult use markets you're going to get into. Florida eventually. Minnesota's already in play now. Ohio's in play.
That's right.
And with a product like Maui, that platform, the idea that you have that back end now, able to go ahead and generate 20 times faster than what you already had at the previous platform, where dispensaries can accelerate growth and increase transaction volume. As that, those states transition from medical adult use, talking about what you've been able to do in terms of how they have to go and grow their yield, they have to go and continue to grow more inventory to complement the amount of traffic they're going to be getting, the amount of new people they're going to be buying,
yeah,
and what Full Hub is able to go and do.
Well, I think the important thing for retailers to think about, right, as they're going through a transition from a medical-only state to a rec state, is making sure they've got contracts with producers, making sure that they've got some form of pricing power, be it partnering with other single-location brands or retailers, or, you know, trying to expand while they're medical only, just so they have purchasing power in that scenario. I think, you know, that's an underestimated a superpower you can have as an organization if you can find some purchasing power as you're switching over to rec, right? You want to make sure you've got the products ready, so on day one of adult use, you have the inventory to sell through. But also, I think, too, you know, it's like you got to make sure you have the right tech stack, right? As you're transitioning from medical to recreational, there's a lot of complexity there, and you don't want to be stuck with your pants down where you're going, ah, man, we weren't ready for this. This is embarrassing. We're not set up for success. Because all you're doing in that moment is you're losing consumer loyalty, you're losing revenue, and it's hard to earn those things back. Once it's lost, it's much harder to earn it back than it was to retain it. And so I think, you know, making sure you have the right tech stack before the switch from Med to Rec is in place, you got to make sure that it's there. And I actually just said this on stage a little bit ago.
Yeah.
But you go be an undercover boss. Go pretend to be a consumer at your own retail organization, no matter if you have 30 locations or 5 locations or 1 location. Go do that maniacally all the time and finesse it. Get better and better and better at serving your consumers, because that's how you build loyalty and a sticky brand for people. And that's critical.
For those of you who didn't get a chance to go and hear Kyle spoke on, is your retail experience really what consumers are looking for? The other thing that also much mentioned is in your suite of solutions, you now have a new POS platform, the Stash app, so a new mobile inventory management platform.
We have a lot of mobile tools at the company. Right. We actually had Stash for a while, but it's only gotten better with Maui. So we've got a few different apps. We've got the Greet app, which is a mobile check-in app, and it's amazing. It says, you know, if you scan an ID, like if I scan your ID right now, it's almost your birthday. It would say happy birthday. It might say returning customer, you know, it might say first time, right? Those things all matter in the consumer experience because now I can scan your ID and I can immediately know, oh, I know he's been in here before. I can see your purchase history. I can see your notes in there. I can see your loyalty. On the Stash app, right, it's for the inventory team to intake products, to audit products that you could ultimately reconcile with the state regulatory system, be it BioTrack or Metric or your own systems. And so those are two of our mobile apps, Stash and Greet, that run on what we call the NUG. It's a hardware scanning device. You can also run it directly on the phone. And we also have the View app. And managers and owners love this. In fact, I was just with a customer out here before we were chatting here now. And he was showing me his View app. He's like, I love this thing. He's looking at all his locations. And he's showing me all his conversion rates and check-in times and wait times and all this. And it was like, it's amazing. No one's doing this properly. I mean, like, we've had this app for years, right? So we've got some great mobile tools that really help retailers and managers alike, manage their environment and like actually be mobile on the road. They can be here at Benzinga Capital Conference and they can look at their store in real time. Like how many people are waiting right now? What's the average wait time?
Right. And then on top of that, the amount of time less that they have to spend in inventory and more time in front of the storefront, either buttending and everything else. Right?
Well said. I mean, if you can just save 10% of your time intaking products, that matters. 10% of the time now you can go do something else that's productive for the organization, right? I you know, it's really funny. I'm touring the country right now, visiting some dispensaries. I just was in Arizona for a few weeks. I was in New Mexico and Southern California. And there's some real patterns. It's amazing. I think a lot of these retailers, I was visiting a lot of folks who don't use FlowHub, by the way. I was trying to understand what was going on there. And it's amazing how poor the consumer experience is at a lot of these stores. Right. The check-in times take forever. I brought this up on stage as well. Like, I mean, they're just, it's a 10-minute check-in time in some of our competitors' platforms. I saw this in
Arizona. And not a lot of customers are going to stay around for that.
Right, no. I was like, why would you come back? This is awful. I'm obviously not the priority here. And other times, you know, it just took forever to check out, multiple taps to get someone into the queue. And all this stuff just adds to the complexity of the check-in process. And so as a consumer, you just don't trust it as much.
Right.
And so there's so much opportunity for retailers to go play undercover boss, look at their stores and go, man, could we be doing better? I mean, right now we're in an environment that's tough. It's competitive. Margins are smaller than they've ever been. Things are more expensive than they've ever been, right? Consumers are more pissed off than they've ever been, right? They want ease more than anything. And so you've got to look at your tech stack. If you own a dispensary, you've got to go double click and look at your tech stack and be realistic about it. Now's the time to look at switching your platforms. I ask our customers all the time, go talk to other customers of ours. Go look at your store, play undercover boss, and you'll see. Go compare that to our competitors, and you'll get a better experience out the other side.
It's logical 100%. For your employees. You don't want to have them sitting back there to have to go and count inventory and just keep looking through. You want, you know, for people to get a look at time management. Technology, people can go and got to debunk the idea, oh, technology's not going to go and help out, they're going to make things faster. Well, you're showing that your suite of solutions does. Exactly. 90% cut of the inventory time. That makes sense. That's an investment worth making. So, obviously, companies, and for MSOs, obviously, they want to find a way to go ahead and put technology into place anyway and have the employees doing something more important. And if your employees are doing something more important by being in the storefront and serving customers and not sitting back there having to go and count and go through ID tags or whatever they might have to go do, that's what you want.
You know, and think about how many compliance violations can come from a system that allows too much manual work anyway. So not only is it like less efficient to use a crappy technology solution, right? But now you have all these potential holes for compliance issues, for stolen or lost inventory, aka shrinkage, right? So your tech matters.
Yeah.
Good tech matters, and it can really change your business for the better. And I think a lot of times people look at this stuff and go, yeah, well, POS is a piece of shit. It's all the same. You know, and it's like, no, it's really not.
But look at the extra cost you have in place. Look at all these conventional stores that will have to outsource some company to come in and do inventory because they can't do the full-scale inventory and a full breadth of it. But you can do it on your platform and have the entire inventory checked out. And again, 90% less time.
Exactly. Precisely. That is what we're trying to do at this organization, is build great tools easy to use, save people a bunch of time, try to help them not get in trouble. We call it stoner-proofing the software, right? Make it easy for anyone to use, no matter the state of mind that they're in. Yeah. And it looks like bowling with bumpers, right? At some point, the bowling ball is gonna go down the other end of the lane and hit some pins, right?
So, Kyle, it's amazing. And so, again, the solutions make it pay for themselves. And I'm glad that, you know, you're hearing a whole lot when it comes to your touring to other dispensaries and learning about what they need to go and do to help out with this product. Because, you know, it's like you don't want to go and just, you know, go favoritism and just like, okay, just look at the stores that have only Flow Hub. You're looking at other stores and dispensaries that do not have, and seeing how your product can definitely go ahead and make that put across your suite of solutions and make that possible.
Yeah, Kyle, you know, yeah. I'm biased, but I'll say Flow Hub has the absolute best technology platform for retailers in the market today, for sure, bar none. I've seen it firsthand. I've looked at all of these stores. I've been to our competitor stores, like you talked about, and I've seen it firsthand. I'm going, oh my gosh, we are in a great spot as an organization. I'm really excited to continue to grow the company and serve people for years to come here.
And as for Florida, you know, what do you think about the transition? Because, like I said, it's not like Florida's a very different market when it comes to turning rec. Because it's all MSO is going to be part of this. So obviously you're going to have your way to where you're going to be in dispensaries, where your system is going to be put in dispensaries around the state. But, you know, do you think it's going to be much of an issue of them being able to go ahead and churn out the yield necessary to handle the market and the demand that's going to be coming when it comes rec?
We'll see. We'll have to see, right? I mean, I think a lot of states oversupplied during that transition unnecessarily, and that hurts a bunch of businesses in the communities, right? That's not good for anybody. And so I think, you know, having tight controls around how much supply is available is super important. But we'll see. Like, you know, look, I mean, I hopefully Florida does it right. You know?
I got a good chance.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know, there's some parts where, you know, in their program, what they're going to have, they haven't talked much about social equity. They haven't talked much about, you know, the other areas apart, which also I know you do a lot of advocating for prohibition and the issues that we had with that. But it's just some of those other outlying areas that had not been addressed here. But that's because of how the market worked out, because when the petitions first came out for medical, you know, the corporate side that decided to go ahead and, you know, consolidate, put a petition out against the other petition, fought it off, and then they come back now. They're the ones with the leading petition. They got the amendment up there. And so, like, now after the fact, you know, other issues need to be addressed. But the MSOs, they just need to realize, okay, they have only enough licenses that you're able to go ahead and use. They have to also be able to have enough grow to be able to go ahead and surplus and handle the drive that's going to be coming in.
Yeah. We'll have to see. Like, I'm a huge advocate of, like, of being very careful with how much supply you generate, because it can kill smaller businesses. And as you know, smaller businesses are really important to our communities. It's not just the MSOs, right? And so I think, and even for the MSOs, frankly.
And don't get me wrong, a lot of good MSOs really, here. I mean, they're really well run so far in terms of medical.
There are.
The switch to adult, you should be pretty smooth.
There are. But I think it's like, just again, it's like you have to watch that oversupply. Yeah. It's the supply-demand balance is extraordinarily crucial. And just being really smart about it. It's, in my opinion, it's better to have less, more demand and less supply than oversupply the demand, because it can crash a market for a long time, and it literally will kill businesses.
There we go.
So I'd rather see more businesses open, more consumer choice, you know, these sorts of things. So,
So again, flowhub.com, and one more second, just going to take a pitch and just let people know why they should go ahead and invest in your suite of solutions. If they haven't done so yet, what should they be doing when they go to flowhub.com?
Yeah, so if you're a retailer, we'd love to work with you. We'd love to learn more about your business. Go to flowhub.com. You can click on, the get a demo button. You can read about our solutions, watch videos. We have a YouTube page. You can see how the software works. You go to our Help Hub, which will tell you all about how to use the software if you're already a customer, but you can also just go check it out. If you go to releasenotes.flowhub.com, you can see all of our releases and our release velocity, meaning how much new tech we're putting out every week. It's amazing what the team's doing. I'm super proud of our engineering and product teams at the organization. They're doing incredible work over there. But, yeah, I mean, go check us out. We're not, you know, if you're an investor, we're not taking new money. So we've raised from some really great investors, but we're a company that's profitable. So we don't need to go raise more capital.
You're doing a lot of R&D. You're always looking to go and optimize and innovate with new solutions or build upon the solutions you've already built on.
Exactly. But we don't need to raise money for it. So
right.
Unless it's some super strategic investor, then definitely shoot me an email. give me a buzz. We'll chat. But we have no intention to raise more capital right now. So we'd love to know if you're retail, we'd love to talk to you. Vertical or direct retail, e-commerce, we'd love to meet with you and talk to you.
So, Kyle, I know we've had a number of interviews together and on the network, since going back to 2018, I think it is. And it's always been great to go and have you on. Always getting a little busier as we go along, but it's always good to have you available. Thank you again, Kyle Sherman, CEO of FlowHub. Again, flowhub.com. Thank you again for making time.
Thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
We have more Blunt Business coming up after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
Welcome back to Blunt Business. Time to introduce our next guest. I'm with the Director of Operations at Planet 13 Holdings, Jeffrey Trapp. Jeffrey, thanks for being on with us.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing really well. We're very familiar with Planet 13. Larry Scheffler has been on our network quite a few times. And from all the talks I've had with him, it's been specifically about what's been going on in Vegas now. The Consumption Lounge, Cannabition, has now officially opened. Mm-hmm. And among that, the superstores in California, in Vegas, and now Florida's going to be a new market. We'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, Cannabition's now opened. You have the Cannabis Hall of Fame is going to be embedded in there as well. So talk about the opening so far and what kind of response you've had from there and, how quickly have things turned around. Now that we have consumption lounges available, we were waiting for that to get started, and it took a little while to get here, but talk to me about, have you been there already? What is it like so far?
Yeah, so me coming from a hospitality background, I always thought cannabis consumption lounges were going to be a game changer. It was nice to see that we finally launched ours. I want to say it was about 2 weeks. It was a soft open. We actually have a large grand opening for 420 weekend. We're actually going to do a whole event. We're going to have performers, things like that. It's going to be a very experiential time down there for the whole weekend. So we're expecting a big crowd. The last weeks, we've been seeing a steady increase of the traffic. Everyone's coming to the Consumption Lounge, kind of drinking in all what Planet 13 has to offer, and then also enjoying themselves now that there's a viable option to consume cannabis as a tourist, as you're visiting. Because prior to that, it was kind of, you got to go somewhere where no one's going to bother you, right? And now there's actually a legal venue where you can actually go ahead and consume. So it's been a great reception since we opened, from at least our clientele, and also we did a soft launch internally with all our staff to kind of work out the bugs, and it was a good time.
Now, when it comes to what you have as attractions within Cannabition, this Cannabis Consumption Lounge, we've talked a lot with other people here, either on our Blunt Business Program, Grassroots Marketing, about what are the kind of features, attractions that you're going to have, whether it's music, whether it's what's going to be also in the lounge besides cannabis. What can you tell me about what's being added in to create, a multi-form of ideas or things to do when people are there at the lounge? What are some of the things that have been put together that are going to draw people from other places they might go to in Vegas?
Yeah, 100%. So currently, Planet 13 Las Vegas, the superstore, kind of has already etched itself as a cannabis destination. After that, we're starting to layer on multiple, I would say, experiences for people that want to come through. So we have the lounge. We also have the Cannabition Museum coming through to get a little bit more history and insight. I would say a fun modality to learn about where cannabis has come from and where it's at. We're also looking at doing a good partnership with one of the local restaurants in the area. They'll actually be providing some top quality food, drinks, and then we have some other phases, kind of bring on some more of an entertainment element. We're constantly always looking for strategic partnerships that make sense for us to add on to the Planet 13 Las Vegas Superstore. So we're trying to, in Larry Scheffler's best term, he's trying to out Vegas Vegas and make it a one-stop shop, and we're strategically adding more elements to that.
Sounds fantastic. Now, one of the other things we've also noticed in what you've been doing right now is making the way into Florida. So being able to go and sell off the medical marijuana treatment center license, mm-hmm. buying now VitaCann, which some 30-odd stores now in the market.
Right.
So now creating not just the superstore concept, but I talked to Larry previously on the program about creating the smaller store concept. That
right.
Really the idea was intentionally to go and buy these stores because of what they have in terms of the size, and that the Planet 13 brand is still going to be very prominent. It's
right.
Just going to be a different form to it. So what do you know about the build-out that's going to happen for Ford eventually now that this transaction has been complete?
Yeah, 100%. So that's what I'm currently doing. I actively oversee kind of our Florida expansion. So prior to Planet 13, we actually had a neighborhood concept called Medizin. So we kind of made our... We learned our operational know-how from a very neighborhood concept store, and that's what we're deeming these smaller locations that would be more conducive, as a superstore is not going to fit every city and state. Right?
While there will be superstores coming to the market, I know they've been scouted on either for, say, Tampa or Orlando or
right.
Miami, but nothing's been concrete.
Correct. Because it's a medical market. Superstores wouldn't be conducive to that. Now adult use, and we're looking forward. That looks 100% viable. We're trying to find location, cities that would... justify the guests coming in and then also wanting to stop at a superstore experience, because again, for the superstore you have to add more elements outside of just a shopping experience. So it's a big project, it's a big endeavor, and we are identifying, to your point, a few of those key cities that would make sense for us.
And then on top of that, what you're looking at is that the investment into Florida now is because obviously your team feels very confident that Amendment 3, which has now gone through Supreme Court, the petition has already been allowed. And now Florida voters, as long as it's 60% of the vote,
right.
Of course, I'm going to vote for Amendment 3, yes. Others will most likely do it. I'm already predicting it's going to go, regardless of what anybody else says. But that's the plan, is that adult use, this is all being done in anticipation that adult use is going to pass probably this year.
100%. With the adult use kind of looming, Florida, just in its conception, has always been a unique market. Because working in other states on the West Coast, this is the one state that... You're allowed to have a rolling license, essentially, right? As opposed to going to another state, one license gets you one facility. Florida was always unique, and it just makes it a little bit more conducive as adult use is on the rise. We definitely support kind of having adult use be a little more of a normalized conversation. As the West Coast states that we operate, you do see a significant increase from taxes and the local community. So it would make sense, and it would be conducive for Florida to kind of, I would say, flip over to adult use sooner rather than later, because to your point, most of the community is ready for it. I think medical was a good test pilot. I think there was kind of some fear and some unknown, and now that we've kind of rolled out what Florida looks like, adult use would be pretty conducive. So it makes it a very prime strategic opportunity for us in Florida, and we're 100% in pro of kind of having adult use push through as well.
As well as also those ideas that with Florida, the way it's been set up, MSOs really rule here, when it's going to be adult use, MSOs will completely rule here.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, some of the other markets that might have, you know, inclusion for social equity or something's done for decriminalizing in some way, shape, or form, that's not applying here. This is a pretty corporate market. And I'm not saying anything bad about it. I actually don't mind that it's being done. Every state can do what they want. But, I mean, do you see that as an advantage point for Planet 13? Because, you know, you're going up with just other bigger brands. There's really no craft market in here at
right.
all.
Yeah, so with Florida kind of being structured, and it's always interesting to see how each state sets up their medical market and adult use market and the rules and regulations. Florida was definitely unique in my experience. I've been able and fortunate to work in 6 other states, adult use and medical. Florida was, unique, and it was conducive for a large operator that had a lot of CapEx backing to at least come into Florida and be able to make a splash. Personally, again, the regulations that I set up, again, it's unique. Never thought that would kind of be set up like that. But it does make it, again, prime for us as we've operated as a pretty lean operator. Currently, one of the few large MSOs with 0 debt on the books. It just made sense for us to kind of jump in if we fit the criteria.
Now, once Vida does make that switch over to Planet 13, I'm going to put your director of operations hat on. So what does change specifically to those stores? Is there anything that, for those that might have been accustomed to the Vida can experience, besides the fact that we're located, is there anything that you already can tell right off the bat that is going to identify Planet 13 as why that store is going to be a Planet 13 store? What's going to be the identifiers that are going to change from what was a VidaCann store?
Yeah, 100%. So VidaCann, and getting to know the team, they've been able to operate Florida very efficiently, I would say, agile as well. And that's what made them a pretty prime operator for us to kind of combine forces, essentially. So... if anyone's worked in another state, you know, each state is unique. And anyone that tries to take a model and jam it down a state, you have to kind of curate it. And I think we're going to have a great opportunity with taking what VidaCann has learned through Florida, taking what we've learned through adult use states, kind of marry them together to make, I would say, the most operationally efficient approach for Florida. Now, when it comes to VidaCann, our core goal is to build off what they've already done for a foundation, because they've done things amazingly. They've been able to scale pretty well as well. We are going to kind of...
I think what they've put all their locations, they're in prominent, great markets, they're good locations. They're well put together buildings. Like what they've done in terms of access for customers, it's great.
Yep.
Now it's just a matter of when do these stores make the switch?
Yep, 100%. So we're looking at that. It kind of falls into the regulatory body of the OMMU when that transition switches over. But our goal and kind of what I've been planning is taking over the Planet 13 brand, incorporating that to VitaCan, hitting those three hallmarks that really make Planet stand out. It's the experience, the customer service, and the product selection. And slowly, or within that time frame that we're given, to change over the VitaCan brand to be under that Planet 13 umbrella, and then adding our in-house products from the West Coast as a tiered option along with VitaCan's current product selection. So again, building off that foundation.
And then the licensing, when and if, not if more, but more when, Florida makes adult use legal in 2025. We're just going to assume it's going to be, because that's just where I'm going to be at it. If I had to put money on it, that's where I'm at.
Yep.
So what's the transition from medical to adult use? Is there anything that really changes at all in the concept?
Yeah, so for me being down here and kind of looking at the lens that I have, I'm looking at best case, worst case scenario, right? If everything kind of stays vertically integrated, you're going to have to kind of beef up that supply chain to keep up with the demand. Because currently, I believe Florida, if we're not looked at this week, we're seeing less than 1 million patients.
Right.
Now, when adult use comes through, that opens up to potentially 20 million feasible patients that are 21 and over, then that's not factoring in adult use. So the first thing I see outright is beefing up the supply chain to kind of keep up with the increased demand. Anyone that's kind of seen medical to adult use, there's that spike where supply and demand just, the demand goes up, the supply is really hard to kind of hold out. I watched it firsthand in Arizona. We sold out and for three months as a medical and adult use. And so it's going to be, I would say, a larger arena for Florida, because there's going to be so many patients out here. And then again, the tourists. The biggest thing that we're looking for is making sure that we have the quality products to our standards, and then being able to supply all the continued retail locations that we're going to expand out to.
I usually have all this in front of me because I'm usually in front of a computer, but real quickly, give me website. And also, I know there's a stock ticker, and I remember I also invested in Planet 13 at one point. If you can't, give me the stock ticker and give me the website.
Yep. So our main umbrella website is just planet13.com.
Planet13.com,
and that will get you to all of our sub-locations. So that's Illinois, California, Las Vegas, and then also Florida as well. And then I want to say the stock ticker is PLNF.
Correct. And OTC Markets.
Yes.
All right, there we go, yep. PLNF. I remember I had that, but just I wanted to make sure I had the last letter right. I knew it was PLN, something like that.
Yeah, it's on my watch list. I should know that.
So there we go. Again, here I've been here with Jeffrey Trapp, Director of Operations at Planet 13 Holdings, making their way into Florida. Congratulations to Cannabition. Congratulations and welcome to Florida. And let's get ready for adult use.
Awesome. Thank you, Jorge.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.